Start in about a minute, less than a minute.
They pause it.
You're welcome to grab your coffee and come back in. There was one verse I was going to look up when Dave was speaking. Maybe I'll get you to look it up. And that if you seek him, you will find him. Anybody finds it, just yell it out. Did you say that? I thought I heard somebody say it.
I didn't say
anything. Yeah. I was going to give you credit and everything. I think it's Matthew 7. That's actually not the one I was looking for. I thought it was. Proverbs 8:17, maybe. Proverbs 8:17 is one of them. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. And Dave made a statement in the sermon today about it's only the grace of God that can change hearts so they will listen. So we're going to talk a little bit about that topic, but not as the main topic. We're really talking about prayer today in the life of the believer and the life of the church as we continue these last couple weeks on church family. So why don't we open in prayer and then we'll get started. Yes, there's papers. Can somebody bring one of those outlines up? Yeah. Sorry, don't worry. There you go. It's upside down. I printed a little bigger this week, so even I can see it. So let's pray. Lord, thank you again for all you've done for us already today. Thank you for the service of worship. Thank you for the time of fellowship. Thank you for the preaching. Thank you for the opportunity to see installation of deacon for Josh. Just pray that you'll lift him up, protect him, guide him, and Lord, the other deacons also as they serve with him, the elders as we seek to serve together and lead and shepherd this body. Lord, just pray that you'll be with us today as we look in your word. Help us to continually seek you, Lord, knowing that you are not hidden from those who seek you, that we will find you. Lord, just lead and direct us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're looking at the topic of prayer, and prayer in the life of the believer, prayer in the life of the church. But just to kind of reflect back, at the very beginning of this Sunday school class, way back in September, we talked about what we are to be as members of the family. What is the primary role we can, or we are to be, we are to do? And we looked at Ephesians 5:1, where it says we are to be image bearers of God. We are to be like God. And then there's a whole description of the different relationships of Christians to each other, of parents to children, of husband to wife, wife to husband. believer to believer. We've looked at all these, but just with a kind of a foundational aspect of being image bearers, being like God, seeking to be like God in our lives. And then we look through, how do we accomplish that? How do we do that? How does God work in us to do that? And we're going to look today, we're going to start this last 2 weeks. This week and next week will be the finish of this class. And then on the 14th, there'll be one final Sunday school hour with the Rockwells from Peru presenting their ministry. So before the summer break, the 14th will be the last Sunday school hour. But anyway, in looking at prayer and the Word, what is the purpose of prayer? Why do we pray? Why are we called to pray? We're commanded to pray. To seek direction. To praise. To praise God.
From a big picture approach, it's our way of communicating with God.
And right.
It's, you know, all these things are part of it, but it's like, why do you talk to your wife? Well, I got to communicate with her. We don't necessarily understand that.
You say that with such relish. Which is a very good example, because I think that's how we treat prayer.
Yeah.
I got to pray. But I know it's not what you're saying. The big picture, it is our communication with God. It is, Rhonda said, to seek forgiveness, to ask forgiveness. All these different aspects of types of prayer and things we do in prayer. But does God need us to pray? No, it's kind of a trick question.
God needs nothing.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
He desires us to pray that we cement that fellowship with.
Right. Scripture says, you know, he desires that communication. He desires our prayers. What are the results of prayer? What can be the results of prayer? It's such a wide open question. Yes. Healing. Right. And just like he was saying, communication with a spouse. If you have no communication, how can you have a relationship? Communication with a friend, communication with parents, communication with children. We've talked about all these relationships throughout this Sunday school class. And if you have no communication, if communication is broken down, that fellowship starts to break down. The connection breaks down. And if you when you see conflict, one of the first results of conflict often is a breakdown of communication, where you stop talking to that person with whom you have conflict. And sometimes it's good to take a break and cool off so you don't talk, but having a break off of communication is disastrous for trying to have restoration. So when we look at this, we hear a lot about means of grace. And I've got that in the outline, because I say, what is the purpose of prayer and meditating? I thought I'd spelled it wrong. Meditating on His Word. We're going to look probably next week at meditation on the Word. We may get to that. But the same thing. Why do we read Scripture? Why is the Word of God necessary in the life of a Christian? Right. That's a prime way of His communicating to us, in His written Word and what He has given to us as His communication to us. When I say the Word of God as part of the life of a Christian, when you look at this idea of Scripture being a part of our life, how are we to take advantage of that? What means do we get the Word of God? Should we take advantage of in getting the Word of God? And this, in our denomination, differs from others. But what ways do we partake in the Word, getting the Word of God? I'm making a difficult question. It's a simple, yeah. Yeah, different ways you get the Word of God. Yeah, what do you mean by fellowship? How can you get... Right, so sharing the Word of God with each other, but also teaching, hearing the Word of God preached, but personal study, you know, reading the Word of God on your own. I don't think we place as much importance as we should on reading Scripture, and not just reading it, but meditating on it, where it becomes a part of your daily life, your daily activities, reading Scripture and praying. And the reason I say it's so important is because these are, well, let me ask you this. What are the means of grace? And here I'm going to get in trouble as I open up a can of worms of, not really, but, you know, what are the means of grace? And, well, first of all, maybe I should ask, what does that term mean? What is grace? God's unmerited favor. Are undeserved gifts from God, you know, things we do not deserve that God has given us, like salvation, you know, His grace of salvation, like mercy, you know, not giving us what we do deserve, not giving us justice, judgment that we do deserve, but giving us grace, that undeserved love or undeserved gifts from God or undeserved favor from God. And when I say a means of grace, what am I talking about? The way you get them. The tools. Yeah. Yeah. The means of grace that are in Scripture are prayer, the Word, through hearing, preaching, teaching, sharing it with each other, the list we've got, and personal study and meditation, and the sacraments. You know, the Lord's Supper is a means of grace. Pardon me?
And baptism.
Right, the sacraments and baptism. So those means of grace are the tools that we have available to us to access grace. Now, there's different ways grace is working in our lives. God gives us His grace. There's the one that is the way God changes our hearts, which is all His work. For salvation, it's all Him. It's so He changes the heart. But then once we are saved, how do we take advantage of these tools for grace so we can become more like Him, becoming sanctified? Can we do anything? Is there something we can do? And that's these things that, you know, we can have access to grace and have a stronger relationship with Him and have. Does that mean that if we are not praying, if we are not seeking Him in the Word, if we are not partaking in the sacraments, will we have less grace from God? Do we get more grace after salvation by partaking in these things? Yep. There are many different scriptures that talk about that drawing near to Him, He draws near to you. Can our prayers be hindered? I mean, when Dave read from Isaiah today, what was happening to the Hebrews? When Isaiah wrote, God's message was, I'm not hearing your prayers. I'm not listening to your prayers because of all the list of things. You know, they weren't seeking Him. But then when they needed Him, they were calling on Him, and God's like, yeah, I'm not listening. Are there others in the New Testament? Can our prayers be hindered?
Yeah.
Yep, you ask amiss. That's right. What were you thinking?
I think we do get more grace when we study the Word, when we pray, when we partake in the sacraments. That's not what saves us.
Right.
Our relationship with God is different.
Right. Right.
But, you know, I would really miss that fellowship, and it would impact our relationship.
Right.
So I think grace is in grace, whether we are obedient to pursue that relationship with God.
Right. Right, Jessica. Right. And, you know, if God has given us a means of grace, a tool with which we can access His grace, and we don't use the tool, or we don't, you know, we don't treat it as important in our life, and it becomes, you know, those tools, if you look, you know, just as an earthly situation, you know, they become rusty, you know, they don't work as well. Unless you're using them all the time, if you're making it a part of your daily life in this thing, you know, you're right. You miss out on some of those opportunities for grace that God can give us in our lives. I mean, just as one of the examples in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You know, have you ever been anxious for something and not committed that to prayer and turning that over to God and gotten the peace that comes with that knowledge that you have laid it at the altar and given it to God, and you're then able to accept whatever the result is. Proverbs 17. You know, all these different examples of Scripture saying, here's how you live your daily life with prayer and supplication. Commit your ways to the Lord, and He will make your paths straight. You know, if we're not taking advantage of those things, what do we expect? God can still use us. God can still draw us to Himself. He does draw us to Himself for salvation. And then He can still draw us to Himself in order to give us strength to use these tools, these means of grace. So it's not all us either in using these means of grace. We need to pray for the strength and for the, you know, just the power to be able to pray, to be able to have time to seek in His Word and to partake in these different means of grace. So it's God's work in us that helps us do that, but we have the tools, we can participate in that process. So when you look at this, I don't know if you remember a year ago, well, there's one other quick note on grace that we've had before in sermons, but the way God communicates His nourishing, developing love so we become stronger and more vital in our intimacy with Him, in the proportion that we take advantage of the means of grace. So I think it is proportional on how you are partaking in these means of grace, on what grace you have. So looking at prayer as one of these means, how can we in our lives pray, and what does that mean in our lives? We took a church survey about a year ago on the importance of prayer. And we asked, I think about 85 people partook in that survey, and overwhelmingly the response was prayer is an important part of a Christian life. It should be part of your daily life. It should be an important part of the daily life. It should be a part of communication where husbands and wives pray together, parents pray with children on a daily basis. We pray for the world. We pray for unbelievers. We pray for each other. We pray for the leadership. There's overwhelming positive response, you know, way in the, up in the 80s of answering yes to all those questions. But then everyone was truthful and said, all right, now let's see, answer the question anonymously, what are you doing in your life with prayer? And it was dropped down to a much lower percentage of, are we actually doing that? Are we acting like it's important? Are we praying daily with our spouses? Are we praying daily with our children? Are we praying daily on our own? And are we using prayer as we ought to as believers? And in reality, the majority of us are not taking advantage of that. And so what I want to look at is a couple of things on prayer, and then an encouragement on prayer, because I think most of the times many of us and many believers misunderstand what prayer is for and think of it really as just, well, I'll pray when I need something, or I'll pray when I'm discouraged, or I'll pray and I'll just recharge my batteries. I'll ask God to help me through this situation, but that's how we use prayer. And we ignore all the other benefits of prayer, which is that communication with God on a personal level, the opportunity to talk to Him. What prayers will change when we're in heaven? Well, we talked about the different types of prayer. We talked about praise, we talked about confession, we talked about, you know, asking for things. Have you ever thought about how our prayers will our prayers change when we're in heaven? What will our prayers be like in heaven? What's that? Perfect, that's right. No confession. No supplication. What day? That's right. As he is now. But in person, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you think about it, and when you lose someone close to you who's gone through struggle, I mean, I thought this when Pat died a few weeks ago, where at that next moment he was before Christ and was able to walk, was healthy, you know, no more pain. You know, you think of that and you think how your prayers will be different in heaven. It will be different. So let's take the opportunity now while we have the chance to use these prayers that we have available to us now in this way to communicate with God. And communicate our needs, but also communicate our love to Him. When you think of the adoration prayers that will still, I think, are at least our adoration, which will continue in heaven. When we have the different prayers in the worship service, we have the prayer of adoration, prayer of confession, prayer of intercession, and thanksgiving. You know, the prayer of adoration, most of the time, you'll see that we've written it out. Because when you think about who God is and adoring Him for who He is, we are to, when you look at what God says about Himself, we are to see Him as He's revealed Himself to us in Scripture. And we're not to seek out His unknown ways and think of, you know, try to extrapolate and say, well, God must be like this if He hasn't revealed Himself. So many times what you'll hear us praying is Scripture back to Him. And we're praying what God has revealed to us in Scripture in adoration of Him. And that's why a lot of times, you know, that's why I have to write it out. I don't want to misstate what Scripture has said or misquote or missay what God is when He hasn't revealed it in that fashion to us. So our prayer of adoration are those things God has revealed to us about Himself that we can stand in awe of and pray to Him in that way. So I think that's why sometimes you'll see that done. I will say, before I forget, because I always get to the end and I forget, there are some books that we have gone through as a session and leadership, some of the leadership team has gone through, and they're in the library. I highly recommend these. But if you want to just look at praying scriptures back to God, praying the scriptures, this face-to-face is one where it goes through, you can go through chronologically by day, by, you know, different periods of time, or just flip around and find them. But it's actual scripture that you can pray back, different types of prayer, adoration, thanksgiving, repentance. And then there's this book called A Praying Life. Are the girls doing this book this summer? No, you're not? Okay. Okay. But A Praying Life is one where it just goes through how do you make prayer a greater part of your daily life. And it's a very, also very good. This one's by Paul Miller. And then there's this one, which was written, it's Martin Luther on Prayer, A Simple Way to Pray. And this was one that really showed me, open up a different avenue of my prayer life, in that just going through, and he goes through the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and goes like one line at a time. He wrote out prayers for, I think his barber was what this book was about, on how he prayed, and just as an example, where he would say one line of the Lord's Prayer, and then it would open up a whole avenue of things that God brought to his mind to pray for. And so line by line, and you can do it with the Ten Commandments. You can do it with, you know, different scriptures where you just pray scripture and then in between each line, ask God to reveal to you who you should be praying for that. And it's a kind of a systematic way to think through, because a lot of times when you're praying, if you're like me, it's very easy to get distracted because things are quiet, or maybe you're praying as you're driving and somebody cuts you off, or, you know, that kind of interrupts your prayer in a different way. But it's just this idea of we are so easily distracted that having a system of thinking through an organization of prayer, like the Lord's Prayer, you know, which is, you know, we say it so much in church, it's an easy way to remember something, that just line by line, and then pray about those things, like give us this day our daily bread, and you can, it opens up those needs that you can remember. God brings to your mind ways to pray through scripture in a communication on a personal level with God, so it's not repetitive. Because when you look at the Lord's Prayer, when you look at the, you know, what led up to that, he's talking to them about not praying as others, you know, where repetitive words or saying the same thing over and over and over, but praying on a personal level to God about what God has laid on your heart. So anyway, let's look at this as we go through. I want to look at the last little bit of the longer catechism, questions and answers on prayer. What I did today, I gave you three pages front and back, which is the questions and answers on prayer. And when you look at the longer catechism, those of you that have memorized it all, you know, the questions on prayer and are towards the end of the larger catechism. So questions 178 through 186. And then there's footnotes in the each answer to each question, and the footnotes are follow question 186 on this outline. So you can kind of read through, and I'm not going to go through every proof, but the footnotes are the scripture proof to each of the statements in the larger catechism. So does that make sense? So we've got the questions and the answers have scripture texts to support them, and those texts are in this outline too, following these questions. So question one, what is prayer? And of course, we're not going to get through all these, so I'm giving this to you so you can take it home and use it this week, maybe in your personal prayer life, to kind of pray through these things. So prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. This is question 178. In the name of Christ, by the help of His Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And so then, turn to page 2, and we'll look at the footnotes. So the scripture text or proofs for these statements, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. You know, just one of the scripture proofs. Trust in Him is Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out all your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Salah. And then in the name of Christ, and John 16:23 is the proof text for that. And in that day you shall ask me anything. Verily, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Now, here's a question. Is that a magic code for getting what you want? Why do we pray in the name of Jesus Christ? Because He said it right here. That's right. But if we... Right. But why... So why do we... What does it mean to pray in the name of Christ? Right. Right. So He's promised to intercede on our behalf before the Father. We've got a counselor. I almost called him a lawyer. I don't want to denigrate the name of Christ, but that way. But his counselor, he is our representative before God. Why wouldn't we pray in the name of Christ to ask for His intercession? Yes. Say what? Again?
Authority.
Authority. The authority of Christ. Right. Oh, so you're saying whenever you hear the name of Christ, you're saying it's in the authority with His power, with His... Right. 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 And that's one of the other aspects. Who else would we pray in their name? And here's another distinguishing factor between Reformed and, for example, Catholic. You know, they pray in the name of many different people. But Scripture says we're to pray in the name of Christ and Christ alone. And but it says also by the help of His Spirit, number 1149, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And here's where... when you're in distress or don't know how you should pray for a situation, just pray anyway. You know, you don't have to ask for the specific thing resulting in this way, but you can pray. You know, we pray for healing for those that it would be a miracle for healing, but we pray for healing anyway. We pray because, and sometimes we don't know how to pray, but we pray anyway. Why? Because the Spirit, we can ask the Spirit to intercede for us even when we don't know how to pray. The Spirit can intercede for us with groanings which we can't utter. And Christ hears those and understands. Yes, Kendall. I think, no, it's more, I mean, you could think of it in that way, that we're praying to Him in His name, but we also can pray to the Father. We're praying, but... Right. Well, I only have access to pray because of Christ, and so I'm praying with His authority and His... I can't even appear before God without Christ's righteousness. So in many ways, we're praying because He's given us the ability to through His righteousness. So we're praying with His authority, and we're praying in His name, asking these things because we have no other. We can't pray in our own name. We can't pray in our own authority. So we pray in His name in this way. You're still... Well, of salvation. But will the prayers of an unbeliever, other than salvation, be heard? Right. They are praying in the name of Christ for salvation and praying because the Spirit has drawn them to that point of acceptance for salvation and faith, given them faith. So it's only through Christ that they can pray. It's only in Christ through whom we can pray and whose name we can pray. Because we can't pray in the name of Mary, you know, Mother of Christ. We can't pray in the name of... Right. Well, that's why we often will add that. Now, do we always have to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray?
That's the magic phrase.
That makes it work? That's right. That's right. Abracadabra, could we say that instead? No, it's, yeah. Right. 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 No. It's only in His strength that we can pray. And it's only, you know, we can have that communication. But yeah, we don't have to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, in order to make the prayer work. But it's our heart. Yeah, we have to know that's how. Right. 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 And often when we're in a group, like if we're just taking a time in a small group or whatever, say we're going to pray prayers of adoration. It just can be like one line, whatever you want to praise God for or adore Him for. Yeah. I mean, we're praying because in Christ's strength and with His righteousness, we have access to the throne of God. So it's in that sense, we don't have to say, in the name of Christ, but we are, every time we pray, praying with His strength and with the strength of the Spirit, and we can pray directly to God or ask the Spirit for the words or ask Christ, you know, they're all God, and we have that strength, but only through Christ's sacrifice do we even have access to that ability to have our prayers heard. So does that make sense? With confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And then here, are we, 179, question 179, are we to pray to God only? So the answer, God only being able to search the hearts, hear the requests, pardon the sins, and fulfill the desires of all, and only to be believed in and worshipped with religious worship, prayer, which is a special part thereof, is to be made by all to Him alone and to none other. So we can only pray to God. That is, praying to Mary or praying to a saint or praying to a statue or praying to some other, you know, idol is ineffective. And our prayer to God alone for these reasons. I'm not going to go to all the proofs. I encourage you to do that this week as you go through, and I encourage you to study prayer and make it a part of your life, because you're leaving so much on the table of the grace that's available to us by not making prayer a part of your daily life of you and your family. So, and then question 180, what is it to pray in the name of Christ? To pray in the name of Christ is, in obedience to His command, and in confidence on His promises, to ask mercy for His sake, not by bare mentioning of his name, but by drawing our encouragement to pray and our boldness, strength, and hope of acceptance in prayer from Christ and his mediation. Let me pause just for a second. Are we to pray corporately or just individually in the closet? Both. When you look at the New Testament church, when they arrested Peter and somebody else, John, is that right? Sorry, I'm looking at the clock. So what was the church doing? They were praying together in the upper room praying. Even later on, when they were praying and Peter came out of prison, he was in prison, and in the middle of the night they're praying, and what's the little girl's name? The young girl went down to answer the door, and he said it was Peter, and she didn't let him in. She went back up telling everybody. I mean, it's just they were amazed that their prayers were answered. And I think sometimes we are amazed that God answers our prayers. We are surprised. And we shouldn't be so surprised when God hears our prayers and answers them the way we've asked them to be answered. You look at the comparison of Christ, God as the Father, like a father to his children. You know, it says, how much more does God the Father know how to give good gifts as a father to their children? Or a father's heart to their children to show mercy. How much more does God show mercy to us, his children, to those who seek him? So anyway, the types of prayer that we are to pray in the closet. We ought to go. We were also instructed to go and pray in the closet, not as the Pharisees pray, where they're beating their chest and thank God I'm not as this sinner over here, but I give alms and I help, you know, all these things that they prayed in public for their attention, for attention of others. No, we're not to pray like that. There's an instruction on fasting, which we're not going to get to, but Christ said, when you fast, which implies that we are to be fasting for some things too. But when you fast, don't be as, I think it's Pharisees, where they put on a sad face and dress in bad clothes. Everybody knows they're fasting. No, do it in secret, so God, because God the Father sees and knows your heart. So anyway, I encourage you to look at the rest of these. You know, why do we pray in the name of Christ? How does the Spirit help us to pray? For whom are we to pray? For what things are we to pray? How are we to pray? And what rule hath God given for our direction in the duty of prayer? We look at this in that last one, 186. I just have to read that one. 186. What rule or what instruction has God given for our direction in the duty of prayer? The answer, the whole Word of God is of use to direct us in the duty of prayer. And you look at 1198, which is going to be over on page, the last page. Sorry, I gave you a lot of pages. 1 John 5:4, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, the whole Word of God directs us into duty of prayer. We can look throughout all of Scripture and see our duty of prayer and how we are to pray. We can pray Scripture back to him. But the special rule of direction is in the form of prayer which our Savior Christ taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer, where God gave us specific instructions on, you know, when you pray, here's how you can pray. And this is what we can use as our daily life, if you want to kind of pull apart as you pray line by line and then pray expanding on that, each thought in this prayer that God, that Christ gave us as the Lord's Prayer. Anyway. I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to take advantage of that means of grace for your life, for making it a bigger part of your daily life as you go. You know, not just specific time where you commit to pray. And there are many things you can do. I used to pray when I was driving to work. I'd turn the radio off. I don't go to the office that much anymore. So I cut out. I had to find another way to do it. But this idea of daily prayer, and then just throughout the day, when you have something come up, is your first thought to pray? Is your first thought to seek God's direction before you make a decision? Is your first thought to pray before a big call or a conference call or you know, a meeting or something you're going into? Is it your first thought? It ought to be our first thought in our daily life, in our daily going about living, asking for boldness, opportunity to speak to someone, and the boldness to speak to them when the opportunity presents itself. If we're not making this a part of our lives, we're missing out on so much of what God can do for us and through us in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to talk about prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to come before you, to communicate with you directly, to share our thoughts, even though you know them and can sometimes help us, direct us, and lead us in our prayers. Lord, give us the strength to follow you, to communicate with you. Give us the desire to daily talk to you as we do our friends, our family. Lord, just pray that you'll strengthen us to make that an important part of our lives, that we could take advantage of that means of grace from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.